for truth and justice, seeing how plainly all of this has been carried on to pull the wool over the eyes of the American people, and it's like the American people either can't see it or won't see it.
Well, you know, the latest polls show that American people do see it, and we see that the polls are showing that majority of Republicans want this issue heard. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, that's pretty much removed from competition most of the candidates that are running for office from the Republican side.
Yeah.
Only one who would talk about this issue is Donald Trump. That's it. And then,
isn't that amazing that the others are completely intimidated because they're afraid that if they even talk about this issue, they will be labeled with the birther label, which is kind of a pejorative term, as if somehow you are a nutcase, not worthy to be even considered an American citizen.
Well, you know, since they see the data, they see the polling results, so they know that majority of people want this issue heard. I think it's not that they're afraid of being labeled. I think they know who's pulling the strings, and they're told what you can or cannot say.
Okay, so you feel that the fear is much greater than just the fear of getting labeled, that there are other issues, fears, even threats that are much greater.
Well, there is also another issue that nobody's talking about right now, but we have massive election fraud. We have a foreign corporation called Dominion, which purchased both Diebold and Sequoia software.
Mm-hmm.
Diebold and Sequoia companies are used to run our ballot counting scanners.
Mm-hmm.
So today, we have most of the ballot counting scanners in the hands of a foreign corporation. The citizens of this nation have no access to this software.
Wow.
Somebody abroad can actually rig and manipulate the software any way he wants.
Isn't that amazing? Just unbelievable, isn't it? Well, Orly, what would you say to our listeners here? Is there anything they can do quickly?
Absolutely. Please call the governor and schedule meetings if you can, and demand an executive order from your governor so that he signs an executive order before he signs on the certificate of candidate, certificate of winner of election. He wants to see the government sign such an executive administrative order.
All right.
Of this nightmare.
All right. Well, we'll encourage our people to do that, to write to the governor, have him sign an executive order to make sure that whoever is running in the upcoming election is certified. Friends, this is very serious. Pray for the future of our country. Pray for Dr. Orly Tate. She has taken a huge challenge here. And thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chris.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor David Whitney, who's with the Institute of the Constitution, which is certainly one of the most important organizations in America today. Why? Because it teaches the Constitution, which, of course, is the foundation of our freedom. Why is America different than other countries? Is it because we have purple mountains, majesty, and fields of waving grain? No. It is because we have a form of government different than any other, because it's dedicated to limiting the power of government over the lives of the people so they can be free and productive. And actually, of course, as a result of the Tea Party movement, there's an increased talk about the Constitution today, and at least this is entering into the conversation. Back in Washington, D.C., they're talking about it. Though, of course, you have to understand the elite who rules America doesn't believe in the Constitution. It is simply a troublesome thing that gets in the way, and then they want to go to war. They simply go to war, as we have declared war on Tripoli, on Libya. President Obama didn't go to Congress as required by our Constitution, and he should be tried and impeached for his violation of the Constitution. No, he relied upon a resolution passed by the United Nations, which was basically based upon a request by the Arab League, which had asked, of course, that we go to war, or that we declare a no-fly zone over Libya, which is an act of war. And, of course, that's because the Obama administration bribed and twisted arms and forced the Arab League to request the resolution because the Obama administration wanted to go to war with Libya. And actually what you're seeing in Libya and in the Near East and in the Far East is simply an overthrowing of all of the nations in those areas. Of the governments are all going to be one by one replaced as we move to unite the Islamic world in preparation for World War III. And this is really what this is all about. And that's why you see the riots in Sydney and Algeria and Morocco. Egypt and Tunisia are already gone. Certainly, Libya will soon be taken over, and it'll be because the government will be replaced by the Muslim Brotherhood or some other radical Islamic movement. And we're seeing the riots in Syria. We're seeing the riots in Jordan. We're seeing them in Bahrain. We're seeing them in Saudi Arabia. We're seeing them all throughout the Islamic world, and believe me, these don't just occur by chance. They are carefully planned and orchestrated by people within the intelligence agencies and behind them the Brotherhood of Darkness. Well, with us tonight to talk about our Constitution, which is the bulwark of our freedom, which is getting increased play all across America. But you're not going to hear that, because the last thing they want is for the American people to begin studying and understanding our Constitution. Pastor David Whitney, you pick up the story.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be with you and with your audience. Yeah, it's fascinating to see what's happening as people are beginning to study the Constitution, read and ask questions about it. And those who hate our Constitution have a one line of defense against the true understanding of the Constitution, and that's called the living Constitution approach. And of course, that's a good propaganda term, because who would want a dead Constitution? But the living Constitution approach is not what our founders designed in our founding documents, and is not a document that secures our God-given right to life, liberty, or property, or any of our other God-given freedoms.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney right here at Radio Liberty. David, go right ahead.
Under that living Constitution approach, human rights are not at all secure. In fact, the court, because the way the living Constitution approach is really set up, is the courts become the ultimate arbiters as to what the Constitution means. Sort of like they read the tea leaves and they come up with something that was never intended by the founders, but they found it there anyway, even though it wasn't in the text itself. The danger of that is that the same court that can read into the Constitution rights that aren't there, for example, abortion is definitely not countenanced by the Constitution, or establishing homosexual conduct is somehow approved. These things that have been read into the Constitution that aren't there, well, just as quickly as they read something into the Constitution, they can read out of the Constitution rights that clearly are there, things like property rights. Just read the case of Kelo v. New London, where the Supreme Court essentially made a decision that you can't really own property in our country. You just hold it as a tenant of the government, and the government takes it any time they please. Or contract rights have been attacked by the decisions of the Supreme Court. Or firearms rights, although they they moved in the right direction in the Heller case here recently, although not as clearly as they needed to move to reaffirm that the Second Amendment means what our founders said it means, and others like the free exercise of religion or the freedom of speech, and on the list of things goes that the Supreme Court has been involved in reading out of the Constitution, saying, the text might have said that for our founders, but you don't have that right anymore. We have taken that right away. And the way they get around the text of the Constitution is to claim that our founders crafted this living, breathing document that is always ever-changing, and they put the courts in control of changing the meaning of the words in that document any which way they please. Well, if you think about this idea of a living Constitution, there's no guarantee that history always moves upward towards a greater recognition of human rights or human dignity or even human equality. In fact, much of history proves the exact opposite. It moves away from a standard where things were done justly and rightly and human dignity was respected to a new barbarism. And indeed, history just of the past century, the 20th century, looks like a downward tilt of the world into a new age of barbarism as the 20th century was the bloodiest century in the history of the world. And where was most of that bloodshed? It was mostly governments killing their own people. Whether it was Stalin or Mao Zedong murdering hundreds of millions of his countrymen in China, and on the list goes of tyrants who did not protect the human basic human right to life.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, of course, Pastor David Whitney. He's talking about our Constitution. It is fixed. It says exactly what it means. But there have always been people who wanted a dictatorship in America, and many of those have been placed on the Supreme Court to change the meaning of the Constitution ever so subtly and little bit by little bit by little bit. They have tended to concentrate power in Washington, D.C., whereas, of course, the purpose of our Constitution was to limit the power of Washington, D.C., for, as Thomas Jefferson had said so well, in matters of politics speak not to be of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution. It was to limit the power of government so men could be free. This is the secret. Isn't it a shame? This is never taught in school. Go right ahead, David.
And particularly never taught in law school, because they're taught this living, breathing Constitution approach whereby they look at the case law, that is what judges have written about what the Constitution says, and they take that to be the law, rather than as it is true in any other area of law. You consider a will, somebody dies and they've crafted a will. The interpretation of that will is according to the desires of the one who crafted it. What was his intent in this phrase? What was his intent to do with his property? That guides it. Or a contract between two individuals. What was the intent of those who made this contract? Those are the primary questions in every area of law except constitutional law. How can that be that every other area of law recognizes that the words that are put on paper in a contract or a will or any other legal document, those words must be interpreted according to the meaning that those who wrote those words intended. And with our founders, it's very clear what they intended. Read the Federalist Papers, read the letters of correspondence, read the ratifying debates of the 13 states that ratified. All those things give us, read Madison's notes of the Constitution Convention itself. All these give us an ample opportunity to look into what the founders understood in the contract they were making in our Constitution. When people tell me they like the idea of a living Constitution because they'd hate to have a dead Constitution, I ask them, would you like to have a living mortgage contract with your bank? So, 1 month your interest rate is 5%, but you've got a living contract with them, and they can change it any which way they please, any month they please. So next month it's 10%, and then 15 and 20, and you'd be outraged. You'd be dragging them to court because you'd say they have broken the contract. There is a law against what they are doing. Well, how can it be so with a mortgage contract, which just secures your right to that specific piece of property and borrowing the money on that property, versus all of your God-given rights to life, liberty, and property that are secured by our contract with the civil government? And so, just like we don't want a living, breathing mortgage contract, we certainly don't want a living, breathing constitution. We want a fixed standard constitution that does not change except by the process the constitution itself envisions. Article 5 tells us how we can create amendments to the constitution, and that's been done. 27 specific amendments of the constitution have been successfully accomplished. So if we need to change it, if we find that some provisions of it are inadequate, then we do it by the amendment process. Well, if we look at the history, not only does history give us no guarantee that civilizations always move upward, the fact that in this living constitution approach, judges get to be the one that change what the words mean, well, what's the history of judges? Do they give us a confidence that they're likely to be more enlightened and likely to be more forward-looking than the general population on matters of human equality, matters of human rights? Well, no, not at all. Just look at Hitler's judges. Hitler's judges just followed the law, and they said, well, this is all legal, and they made that defense at Nuremberg. They said, well, we were just following the law, because the laws of Germany had been changed to allow them to do all these things against the rights of human beings, against human equality. And therefore, there's no guarantee that judges will be better than the rest of us, and somehow we can entrust them with our God-given rights. Well, we shouldn't, as you quoted earlier, Dr. Stan, with Jefferson, we shouldn't trust anyone. We should bind them down with the chains of the Constitution so they can only do, in their position of power, they can only do that which the Constitution permits them to do. And the Constitution nowhere permits judges to amend the Constitution by this unconstitutional means of writing opinions, and that opinion becoming considered law. A perfect example of this is Roe v. Wade. When you ask people about Roe v. Wade and get a little further into it, they will generally say, well, it's the law of the land. I might disagree with it. I might think it's wrong and think it ought to be overturned. But it's the law of the land. And the next question you ask is, well, that's interesting, because who wrote Roe v. Wade? Oh, it was Justice Blackmun. It was the Supreme Court judges. Oh, very interesting. In our form of government, what branch of government crafts legislation? Well, the legislative branch, Congress. Well, then how can the law of the land be something that was crafted by the judicial branch, which does not make law? Usually you get a stunned look on people's face as they say, what? Oh, I'd never thought about that before. So a judicial opinion is never the law of the land. It's an opinion that the only people affects are directly the two individuals involved, Roe and Wade in this case. Although they claim to be striking down the whole state law of Texas, I don't think they have the power to do that on questions that are rightly in the jurisdiction of the state government. So rather than having judges be the supposed ones that are going to secure our God-given rights, the better is to have, as our founder said, a fixed standard, the Constitution itself. It's a far better guarantee of human rights than any evolving judge-made standard. In fact, we could see the evolving judge-made standard is always against us, we the people. Instead of securing our God-given rights, it attacks those God-given rights. So some of the other effects that the living, breathing approach to the Constitution results in, it always leads to bigger government. They have done this through all kinds of very strained interpretations of things like the General Welfare Clause, instead of interpreting as our founders did, that said the limited functions of the government, the 18 things in Article 1, Section 8, can be done for the general welfare, and that's all, just those 18 things, or strained interpretations of the Interstate Commerce Clause, saying that basically their claim today is everything is interstate commerce. I mean, they even claimed that abortion was interstate commerce. How does that work? The murder of a baby in the womb of his mother or her mother is interstate commerce? Well, yeah, they said that in one case. And, you know, you go all the way down to them probably claiming that the lemonade stand, little kids at a lemonade stand, that would be interstate commerce. That's ridiculous. Well, the whole Obamacare, their claim is, well, we could do this because of interstate commerce. That is not the intent of our founders at all. That phrase was just to create a level playing field among the states so that there would be free trade zone, essentially, among the states that were in the Union. The other clause they abuse regularly is the necessary and proper clause. You read the necessary proper clause in its context, Article 1, Section 8. It says they can do what is necessary to fulfill this list of 18 things that are necessary and proper for these 18 things alone. Not whatever they consider is necessary and proper, but only that limited list. And then the other clauses, the contract clause, they often use to abuse our rights, the due process clause, and several others. All of these have been used by the courts to open the door to vast expansions of the size and the scope of government at all levels, so that at this point in time, there is no doubt in our minds, if we look at what we have, the tyranny of Washington, D.C., today is far worse than the tyranny of King George III. And you read the Declaration of Independence, the 28 things that they objected to, that the king was violating God's law. Those 28 things have gone, Washington, D.C. has gone far, far beyond those 28 in our day. And the vast expansion of federal power is something that invades every human being's life, not only in our country, but increasingly all around the world. Furthermore, the size of the federal government, which is, you know, you read about what's going on now with a debate about the budget, and, oh, wow, if we cut the budget, we're going to lose all these federal employees, and we got to create jobs, and all these excuses and all these lies. Well, under President Washington, the federal government had a total of 350. That's 50 federal civilian employees. Today, it's millions upon millions of bureaucrats at every level, and this is a monstrosity. And the thing that's so encouraging, Dr. Stan, is we see Americans waking up to that and recognizing the monstrosity of Washington, D.C., and all these bureaucrats, as our founders wrote in the Declaration of Independence, sent to harass us and to eat out our substance. Boy, doesn't that describe the bureaucrats of today? Harassing us, eating out our substance. Those are not the intention of our federal government constitution at all. It's what they have created this monster to be. And likewise, the federal budget, total federal budget, just pick a year, 1832, federal budget was $11 million complete. Today it's trillions beyond, and we've gone trillions and trillions into debt beyond anything that the mind can even really comprehend. And so when you have a living constitution approach, you have government determining the size of its own powers, the size of its bureaucracy, the size of its regulations, and its reach into the life of every citizen. That's not good for any of us except for the bureaucrats who benefit from the system and the politicians who benefit from the system and the judges and all the people attached to it. Those people benefit, and we're the ones on the losing side of this deal.
And of course, there was a certain Cloward and Piven. They were two socialists writing in Nation magazine back in 1966, said, you know, if we just created a system that would just spend and created a massive bureaucracy, and we're providing everything for everybody, we could bankrupt this nation. We could destroy it. And that is the program that's being carried out today. And that is what we must oppose. Go right ahead, David.
Amen to that. Another aspect of expanding government, of course, is the income tax. Up until 1913, there had been only a short period of time in the history of our nation where there was...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Nobody cares a Ponzi scheme. And you know what happened when they found out Bernie Madoff was running a Ponzi scheme? Why, there wasn't any money there. That's the same thing with Social Security. Oh, we've got the Social Security Trust Fund. Ladies and gentlemen, what's in the trust fund? Government bonds. Government doesn't have any money. They've already spent the money. Well, the bond is there, but when they cast them in, why then the government has to go out and borrow the money. And you must understand that all of this is a scam. Right now, they're back in Washington, D.C., arguing over the extensions of the funding of the government. Are we going to let the government close down, or are we going to come up with some sort of agreement to cut back on government? The Democrats want to cut $38 billion. The Republicans want to cut $68 billion. We're talking about a deficit of $1.65 trillion, and they're arguing over whether we're going to have 38 or 60 billion dollar cuts or $68 billion. You have to understand it's all political theater. They don't want you to understand that the leaders of both parties intend to destroy this country by excessive spending. They know exactly what they're doing because, of course, they're going to destroy our monetary system. There's going to be such massive debt that nobody in the world will buy our bonds, and the whole house of cards will come tumbling down. And that is just what the elite want. Why? Because out of the chaos that's coming will, of course, come this new one-world government that's one-world religion, and they will be able to install their one-world leader. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. And when they talk back in Washington, D.C., gee, should we cut $38 billion or $68 billion out of a $1.65 trillion deficit? Do you honestly believe that putting salt in the ocean is going to make it saltier? Or putting a cup of distilled water in the ocean is going to make the ocean less salty? It's all to confuse you. Go right ahead, David.
Oh, yes. I just remember the statistics of February this year, 2011. February alone, our federal government went into debt $228 billion, a record. March may be even a bigger record than that, but in 1 month. So they're talking about 60 to 30. Hey, that's just a couple of days compared to what they went into debt just in the month of February. And you're right, they're planning to destroy us, but they're doing it illegally. They're doing it by stepping outside the bounds that the Constitution has established. And if the American people wake up, discover what the Constitution says, refuse to allow anybody to go to Washington, D.C. to represent them unless they understand the Constitution, and demonstrate that they are committed to abiding by it, we can stop this madness before it destroys us altogether. Well, another danger of the living Constitution approach, what it does is makes the state, the civil government, the highest authority. There is no higher law by which to judge the actions of the state, and therefore there really cannot be, in that definition, any such thing as an unjust law. And indeed, that's, again, go back to Nuremberg, that's what those defenders of the Nazi regime were arguing. Hey, we passed laws. The laws permitted us to do these things. Therefore, the state itself is God. It's the highest authority. There is no higher authority above it. Therefore, the state can choose to do these things, and when it chooses to do these things, it is just. So, the state's going to steal your property. Hilo v. New London, pat. Don't complain. The state is just. Whatever it does is right. And so when you begin to, and most people still have an innate awareness of what is just, God has placed it in our hearts, and they know that's not just. They know that's wrong for the government to steal people's property like that. And if they wake up to what's happening with the devaluation of our country, they know that this is stealing. They're stealing from the American people, and this is evil. This is wrong. There is a higher law. In fact, our founders said it was the higher law, the laws of nature and nature's God, that permitted them to separate from Great Britain, that permitted them to look at the king's actions and say, well, the king has violated the law here, and he's violated the law there. Many ways he's violated the law. They had an external standard, and that's the grave danger of a living approach to the Constitution. It means there is no standard other than whatever the judges say it is, which means you're under absolute tyranny, in this case the tyranny of black-robed judges.
And remember, ladies and gentlemen, those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. There already are people, I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness, who want a dictatorship in America. They've openly talked about it and how inconvenient the Constitution is. Well, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. When we get back from the break, if you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you right here at Radio Liberty. Well, David, you go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. And another element of why the living Constitution approach is deadly is it ultimately leads to judicial tyranny. We've been mentioning again and again, and it's judges that wind up determining what it means. And the interesting thing about our founders, when they looked at the judicial branch, for example, Alexander Hamilton argued, and this is in Federalist Paper number 78 as well as Federalist Paper number 81, he argued that the judiciary is, quote, the least dangerous branch of government because its powers are limited to interpreting the Constitution and laws. And so they recognized that the judiciary would have the least amount of power of the three branches of government. In fact, the Supreme Court only met a couple of months out of the whole year because they had so few cases, all the cases up until probably close to the end of the 19th century, all the important cases were dealt with by state courts. The Supreme Court had very little to do, and so they only met for a couple of months at most, and their decisions, a few here and there, were significant, but by and large, the states were the ones where the action really was in the courts. But that's been turned upon its head today, and it's been turned upon its head by rejecting this approach of our founders, and indeed, even into the 20th century, someone like Justice Felix Frankfurter recognized, and he said, what governs is the Constitution, and not what we have written about it. Well, that's the right attitude. The Constitution is the law. Today, it's the opposite. People say, no, it's what the judge's right that matters. Or even as most recently as Justice William Rehnquist, who's now departed, and he said no amount of repeated historical...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. And if you have not actually set up an institute in your community where you can study and teach the Constitution, you need to. Because this is how we're beginning to take America back all across America. Small groups are meeting on a regular basis and using the material from the Institute of the Constitution as a foundation for teaching. And the one thing the people on the other side fear more than anything is the American people will learn the Constitution and realize that many of the members of Congress and the President and people on our Supreme Court are violating the oath they've sworn, of course, to uphold the Constitution. And, of course, that's because so many of these people are directly or indirectly affiliated with what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. They know exactly what they're doing. They're subversives. Now, our telephone number here, if you'd like to talk to David, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or out sending the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. 464-8295. But right now, David, before we go on, I want you to go ahead and Sydney, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, why they should get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, and then what they'll learn when they do get in touch with the Institute. As they say, if you're out there in the audience and you have a question about the Constitution or why it's so important, or why our form of government is different than any other in the world, this is the time to ask somebody who studied this and who has dedicated his life to bringing this information back to the American people. But why don't you tell our listeners, David, how people can get in touch with the Institute and certainly get a kit and begin teaching the Constitution.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, we recognize that many people are kind of frightened by the idea of teaching the Constitution to a group of people or even to some of their own friends. And so we put together what we call a host kit in which constitutional law professor John Eidsmo delivers 12 lectures, historian David Barton delivers 2 lectures, and a student manual that gives a thorough outline of the entire course with test questions following each lecture, supplemental reading materials for that course. All of this together gives you a turnkey way in which you, without really any background or necessary prior knowledge, can begin teaching a course that can lead others to understand our founders' view of law and government. And this is absolutely essential because we need citizens who understand the law better than those in Washington, D.C., because obviously those in Washington, D.C. are violating it left and right. And we've got to know what the law itself says, the supreme law of the land, in order to be able to properly evaluate candidates. We need to be able to ask them a question like, sir, you're running for office. What is the purpose of government? And you've got to know exactly what the Declaration of Independence says. There is a Creator God. Our rights come from Him, not from government. And the sole purpose, the only purpose of civil government is to secure and protect God-given rights. And if you hear the guy running for office say something other than that, you know he is not qualified. He does not hold to the American view of law and government, and you should not vote for him and encourage everybody you know not to vote for him. But as we build a base of citizens who understand these things, are committed to these things, and they begin to find candidates who will go to Washington and to their state capitals and follow the Constitution they take an oath to uphold, we can see our country turn back. And so we encourage people to go to our website at Institute on the Constitution. That website is iotconline.com, iotconline.com. Click the store tab there, and that'll take you to the store. You can get the host kit as well as many, many other materials that can help you understand the Constitution and help others understand the Constitution. Also, you could call us toll-free at Institute on the Constitution. We're here on the East Coast. They're in regular business hours. You can reach us 866-730-9796. That toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. And the website is iotconline.com. And the thing, Dr. Stan, is anybody can do this. I've talked to folks who, you know, have no background in teaching. They were, you know, moms just leading their lives and recognized, hey, I've got to do something to save my country. I've got to do something to restore the republic. And they've taken up the mantle of doing this. And others with many different backgrounds have dived in, and they're finding, especially now that the Americans are upset, Americans are angry, Americans recognize there's something desperately wrong, now is the best time in the world to take this up and begin hosting a class. We've got classes all over America, and the thing that's so encouraging to me is to see I graduate a class, and out of that class, many of the students who are graduating get a host kit themselves, take it to their church, to their community, to their group of friends, and it's multiplying rapidly in certain parts of the country. And I think we're going to see in those parts where it's multiplying rapidly, it's going to take over. That is, you won't be able to see a person who does not know the Constitution inside and out become elected. A friend of mine who's graduated from our course went to one of the candidates' forums when the candidate was running for office. He asked him a simple question like, could you tell me the essence, you don't have to quote it, but just tell me the essence of the Tenth Amendment? And he got a stare like a deer in the headlights kind of stare, you know. And a quick mumbling got to his aide. Well, let's. Can I get your email address, and I'll respond to your question. Like what? The student from our course, he knew the Tenth Amendment down pat. He knew exactly what it said, and he knew that this person was not qualified to hold office in Congress because he didn't even know the essentials of what his job description. He hadn't mastered his job. Manual, the Constitution. Of course he wasn't qualified for office.
And, of course, the Tenth Amendment basically says that all powers not specifically given to Congress by the Constitution are to be limited to the states and the people. There's only a certain number of things that federal government can do, and all the other things, most of what's being done, is unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. Let's go to John, who's calling us from Spokane, Washington. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, John. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I wanted to make a comment, make a point. I figured out about 5 years ago that the Constitution was originally designed to fail because it made some obvious errors. One main point that the constitutional framers did wrong is allow the government to borrow credit currency. It should never have allowed the federal government to borrow credit currency like it does.
Another Where does it say in the Constitution it can borrow credit currency?
It does in Article 1, Section 8.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. And that is a danger, but it's not. I would argue that it's not the Constitution that was in error here. They were in debt. They were deep in debt. And one of the things they could have done, which many new governments do, is repudiate the debt of the previous government. Say, we're not going to pay that. That was them. This is us. we don't have any obligation to pay that. Because, but as Christian men, they recognize, no, when, as Scripture says, when you swear to your own hurt, you should not change. You should take the pain and pay for it. And so they were making a promise to pay for the debt that had been incurred primarily because of the war for independence. There was an enormous amount of debt that had been incurred that hadn't yet been fulfilled and paid. And so they recognized that if we're going to be able to pay this, it may involve us borrowing money. It's a, I agree, it's an extremely dangerous thing, but it's not so much the Constitution that's the problem, it's the people you put in office. If the people you put in office do not have the self-discipline not to go and borrow money that they don't have and not to have a clear plan of repaying that debt, that's where the problem comes. Because there was a period of time early on in our country where we were not in debt. In fact, there was a time when the Treasury actually had a surplus. They had so much extra money that at the year's end, fiscal year's end, they would send money back to the states because they had too much money. They recognized they were not supposed to have surplus funds sitting in the U.S. Treasury. That belonged to the states, and they sent it back to the states.
And actually, 50 years after the Constitution was established, Andrew Jackson paid off the national debt. Of course, so it really wasn't the Constitution that was at fault. It was the people who, of course, would misuse that power. John, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Yes. The Constitution should have specifically banned the ability of private banking industry to operate anywhere in the country. The Constitution should have stated specifically that no private banks would be allowed to operate in the country at all.
Well, in other words, there would be no banks whatsoever? I'm trying to follow you here.
It seems to me that the Constitution implies a barter economy because the economy would be relying on gold and silver coins.
And therefore, no bank should exist at all, if I'm following you. Is that correct?
Not private banking.
Well, then the only option would be to have a government bank, right?
Well, government should own, control, and control the banking operations.
Well, we tried that several times before. We now have a private bank, the Federal Reserve, in control of things. But before that, we had the first U.S. bank and the second U.S. bank, which both were enormous disasters. We just mentioned Andrew Jackson. He ended that second bank because it was disastrous to the economy. The economy was better off with private banking and no government-run bank. And what you're maybe hinting at is the fractional reserve system that does lead to all kinds of problems. And I would agree that the fractional reserve system is probably something that could be outlawed. But I would argue that that's not the business of the federal government. If that's the business of government at all, it should be at the state level. The state could regulate banking within their boundaries. But I don't think the federal government should be the one monkeying with that economic issue. That should be something the states deal with. In other words, if we look at the balance of powers, the state should have almost all of the powers and just very few things, only the things that absolutely have to be granted to the federal government would be in their purview. Everything else would belong to the state government. So one state government might choose to have restrictions on fractional reserve lending of the private banks within its jurisdiction, but it couldn't control what the banks in the next state could do, but it could control what any bank that operated within its state could do. And then this is essentially the states would charter the banks, the private banks within its jurisdiction, and it would regulate those banks. And perhaps what it would be wise to say is no fractional reserve banking is possible. You want to put your money in a safe place and pay somebody to keep it safe because you don't believe it'll be safe in your own home or whatever, your own business, then that's what a bank essentially is, no fractional reserve. They cannot lend out anything other than what is put in, a zero fractional reserve.
But does the Constitution imply a barter economy?
Well, it says that gold and silver is to be the standard, that is, no debts or payments could be made or accepted by the states except gold or silver, which would say, yes, it's not an economy based upon fiat currency, money made out of thin air, which is what we currently have with the Federal Reserve System. So if you want to call that a barter economy, yes, in a sense you might call it a barter economy, but gold and silver have been treated as money all the way back in earliest reaches of human history, recorded human history. Gold and silver has been treated as money. So if you want to say, no, gold and silver are barter, that's fine. It's just a semantic difference there.
All right. Well, thanks very much for calling, John. And basically, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Certainly, if you want to get into an extensive discussion on banking, basically, banks, of course, there's nothing wrong with banks as long as they act responsibly. And certainly, even the fractional reserve system works as long as you do not allow them to do what they're doing today. Originally, of course, most banks were allowed to have actually capital to reserve about 1-8. So you had to have at least 1/8 of your money on hand. But actually what they've done is they've expanded it. Maybe they'll expand the fractional reserve to 40-1 rather than 8-1. Probably something like 5-1 would work. Certainly it gives the bankers certain advantages, but you have to regulate the banks very, very closely so that they do not take advantage of the situation. Andrew Jackson recognized the fact when banks can create money out of nothing, then they can use it to buy up the media, to buy up the politicians, to buy up the corporations. He feared banks, and I think he was absolutely right. But what he feared most of all was an all-powerful central bank, and that is what his certainly core was with, not banking as a whole. He wanted competitive banking, but he did not want a central bank that would control the other banks, that would eventually control the government, as the Federal Reserve controls the government of the United States today. And the most important man in our country is not Barack Obama. Barack Obama is an excellent actor, but he is simply a political figure. The man who determines what happens to our economy is Ben Bernanke, and the man, of course, put him in power. And, of course, Barack Obama is surrounded by people from the banking industry. Certainly, Rahm Emanuel was the chief of staff. He's left now. He's going to run for the mayor of Chicago. He is going to be replaced by a man named William Daley. Who is William Daley? Well, he's the brother of Mayor Daley, the current mayor of Chicago. And where did William Daley come from? Why, he came from J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. Larry Summers, chief head of the Council of Economic Advisors, is going back to university, and who's going to take his place? Somebody from Goldman Sachs. Who was the largest contributors to Barack Obama's campaign? Goldman Sachs. The banks control the government. Until you understand that, they are the largest contributors to the political campaigns of literally all of Congress, for all intents and purposes. And certainly the banks contribute money, the people who work for the banks contribute money, their lobbyists contribute money, and that is how the control works. Whoever pays the piper calls the tune. What we need to do, of course, we cannot have the banks determining government policy. We've got to get back to limiting the power of government over the lives of the people and limiting the power of the banks over the government. Go right ahead, David.
And that's why I would argue, and I think our founders would agree by and large, that the control over the banks should happen at the state level. State chartering could be the way in which states control, but then that creates you don't have a monopoly because there's one set of regulations in one state, and the state next door has a different set of regulations. So if the business looks at the two states and says, well, I think this one's actually more advantageous, they can move with their feet and go to the state that is going to be better for their business. So there's no monopoly. But if you allow the federal government to be in control of banking as it is today, then that monopoly determines everything, and there is no competition among the banking industry, and therefore the businesses as well as the individuals suffer from that kind of monopolistic scenario.
And we have about 6 major banks in the United States today, and they control 60-70% of all the banking assets in the United States. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, David, go right ahead.
Well, going back to the theme of the dangers of the living constitution approach, indeed, it puts us under judicial tyranny.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Do you know what happens to a community that fluoridates its drinking water? Well, the incidence of Down syndrome and endocrine dysfunction, heart disease, thyroid disease, hip fracture, mental problems, infertility, cancer, and crime increases. And if you doubt that, why, go to fluoridealert.org, fluoridealert.org, or the website of the scientists who work for the EPA. That's NTEU280.org. That's NTEU280.org. So what can you do to protect yourself? Well, we carry a Berkey Water Good. It does a great job. If you have the fluoride filter, specifically taking fluoride out of the drinking water, but you're still going to get a lot of fluoride absorbed through your skin if you shower or bathe. So we have now a total home filtration unit. It's affordable. It does a great job. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Judiciary, the seeds of the destruction of our system of government. For if just little by little, like a thief at night, taking a little power here, there, and a little power there, until eventually all power will be centralized in Washington, D.C., and we will have a government as venal as that from which we recently separated. Thomas Jefferson saw and foresaw what's going on today, and that's exactly what's happening. Time we took America back and we declared these people who are centralizing all power in Washington, D.C., in violation of our Constitution, call them what they are. They're a subversive element within our society, and they involve the judicial, the legislative, and the executive branches of government. And we've got to either take America back or we lose America. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we certainly want to remind you, of course, that you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because it'll introduce you to this whole group of people who work within the shadows. Another excellent book on the subject would be Ted Flynn's excellent book, The Hope of the Wicked. You need to hear my talk on The Forbidden Secret. It's available on DVD. You need to hear my talk on the Dark Secret. It's available certainly on CD-ROM. You need to understand that working behind the scenes are people who have a different agenda. because they worship a different god. And you need to understand that behind political and ideological and cultural and financial struggle, there is a spiritual struggle taking on. And that, of course, is one reason why we're so pleased to have a new site, and you can find it on the homepage of Radio Liberty there. We have the banner headlines and our banners, and certainly one of them is the story of Jesus. The story of Jesus. We hope you'll go there and watch that and or listen to it. You can either read it or listen to it. And then, of course, we hope you'll point others to it. We are so far down the road that if we don't have a spiritual revival in America, we're going to lose this country, and we're hoping that this will at least point you to the very simple story, the greatest story ever told, the story of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have another banner there. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? Go there and point others to that, because we truly are involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, cultural battlefield. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. How do you understand what's going on in the Near East and the Middle East today, as all of those governments are being toppled? Do you think this is happening spontaneously? Absolutely not. I mean, our intelligence agency, CIA, NSC, who knows which intelligence agency. We know that British intelligence, American CIA special forces are over there in Libya, are training the rebels, all 1,000 of them. That's all there are. And, of course, now we have an Air Force task force, an aircraft carrier task force there, attacking Libya. It's all about displacing Gaddafi. But this is just part of the overall effort to disrupt the existing structure in the Middle East. How do we understand what's going on today? We understand what happened in Hitler's Germany, how American corporations built up Adolf Hitler, the books you need to read, America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Professor Sutton, Charles Higham, Trading with the Enemy. And you'll find out that it was American corporations that provided the weapons for Adolf Hitler, not only before the Second World War, but during the war, American traitors building the weapons that killed American soldiers. We'll be back in just a moment for the next hour. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And as we look and see what's going on in the world, there are a lot of serious questions as to what's really happening. And certainly those of you who remember a few months ago why there was a major earthquake in Chile, and there are a lot of people killed, a lot of damage down there. And then just a couple of months ago, there was a major earthquake over in New Zealand, and certainly almost a third of one of the towns there in New Zealand was destroyed, and considerable loss of life, well over 100 people or more lost their lives in New Zealand. Just a few days ago, there was a massive earthquake off the shores of Burma, as they call it, Myanmar today. But there was a lot of homes destruction in Burma and certainly the adjacent area. And we know that there's massive eruptions taking on Kilauea volcano in Sydney in Hawaii, with the lava flowing down, massive lava flows, certainly blowing off the side in front of the a part of the volcano there. And then, of course, we saw this massive earthquake off the shores of Japan, and certainly a gigantic tsunami, probably 20,000 people or more killed there. And then, of course, with the complications as far as the nuclear power plant and certainly the devastation in that area of Japan, which is going to have a profound impact upon our economy as well as the economy of Japan. They're really closing down or slowing down automotive production, Japanese automotive production here in the United States because of cutting off supplies from that area of Japan. Certainly this is going to have a tremendous influence on the future of nuclear energy. And the question is, why are all of these things happening? Is this certainly something man-made? Is this God is involved in this? Are there spiritual forces? Simply something's happening to this ring of fire all around the Pacific. It's referred to as the ring of fire, a very potentially unstable region of the world, and it seems to be getting more unstable almost day by day. And then, of course, we're seeing the devastating things that are happening over there in the Near East, the Middle East, as the existing social structure there is being destroyed. Here in the United States, of course, we're having terrible problems with our economy. There are terrible problems over in Europe. And even though the media is trying to tell you everything's fine, things are not fine. We put out sort of $4 or $5 trillion, and we've only been able to get about 1% decrease in unemployment. Unemployment is still about 8.8%. The price of homes is still falling. More and more people will lose their homes this year. And the economy is certainly not rebounding the way we'd like it to see. And, of course, once they raise the interest rates or cut back on the massive spending, then, of course, many people fear the economy will collapse, so they have to keep their massive spending. They have to keep the interest rates at zero, but that's highly inflationary, and if they don't raise the interest rates and stop the spending, they destroy the dollar. If they do raise the interest rates and, of course, stop massive spending, then the economy collapses. It's sort of a lose-lose situation. Which way would you like to lose? Well, with us this evening is Lynn Marzulli, a good friend, and, of course, he, of course, agrees with me that we are involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, cultural, yes, even on the geological battlefield. But until you understand there are powerful spiritual forces at work, nothing makes sense. And you'll certainly, if you haven't read his book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, the Nephilim Trilogy, Alien Interviews, or seen his new DVD, On the Watchers, why you said you want to get them. Hi, Lynn, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, Dr. Stan. Thanks for having me on again. Appreciate it.
And you go right ahead and get your input on what's going on.
Well, I mean, I completely concur with everything that you just said, and you outlined it very succinctly, and we are in the most tumultuous, tenuous times I have ever witnessed. And it doesn't seem to be any let up. In fact, I would say that we're accelerating towards a climactic event that we will see probably sooner than later.
And I think that people have to understand that. If you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord, you're going to be frightened to death. If you understand that we're seeing the fulfillment of prophecy, then all of these things make sense. We'll be back in just a moment. Right ahead, Lynn.
Well, Dr. Stan, you know, when we start looking at, and you mentioned the Ring of Fire, we're getting a 7.0 earthquake somewhere on the planet almost on a weekly basis. We have the 9.1 trembler that happened in Japan just a few weeks ago. And, you know, compounding that with the tsunami, which was about 70 feet, perhaps a little higher, a 70-foot wall of water came in on that town in northern Japan. And, of course, the problem that we're looking at now, other than people trying to, the 20,000 lives that were lost and people trying to pick up their lives, is the nuclear reactors seem to be melting down. And we're not, I don't think we're getting the full story there yet, and people don't want to alarm the masses, but radiation is leaking out. There's been stories that I've been looking at today. Some of it's already reached here, and it's like not 10 times more than normal, but more like 1,000 times more than normal. I can't vet the story, so your listeners need to, you know, take that with a grain of salt or word of caution. We don't know. But we do know that some of the radioactivity is spilled into the ocean, and it's affecting the fish, and on it goes. And so this would be under the heading of troublesome times, because these are certainly troublesome times. What most people don't grasp, because our media is always spinning stories now on a 12-hour news cycle, and we forget just a few months ago the Gulf oil spill, in which millions of gallons of oil were leaking into the Gulf, millions of gallons of Coretex, which were poured into the Gulf to try to clean up the spill, and frankly, nothing has changed. Some people are saying that the Gulf Stream has stalled. Others are saying that they're being impacted like crazy down there. The whole fishing industry, everything has just changed. You see, now, we're not hearing anything about that. If we were to take a camera right now and go down into New Orleans and see the devastation from Katrina, the blocks upon blocks upon blocks of empty homes. You see, we're not shown that, and people forget. It's catastrophe on catastrophe on catastrophe, and it's not going away. You mentioned the earthquake in Christchurch a while back, and what we see there is the same hopelessness, in the sense that people are desperately trying to rebuild their lives. Australia had a flood which the media called of biblical proportions. It may actually change the landscape, literally, in that part of Australia for decades, perhaps hundreds of years. There will be inland seas in which were once rich farmland. So it's really interesting to see how all this is playing out. Now, all these disasters and tsunamis and earthquakes and wars, and it's just a constant barrage of
things. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, because Linda just reminded me of the massive floods we saw in Australia. I mean, there's floods like suddenly nobody had ever seen before. Massive floods over there in Australia just a few months ago. Suddenly we're seeing going from crisis to crisis to crisis. Suddenly I've been following things for 50 years almost now, trying to figure out what was going on, and I've never seen anything like this. I mean, simply what's going on in the Near East and the Middle East, all these demonstrations, the potential for the overthrow of all of the existing governments there and shifting of the power from the current dictatorship to the Muslim Brotherhood, the radical Islamic movement. This is not theoretical. It's taking place. I mean, that by itself certainly would certainly be shocking and frightening enough, but I mean, we see things happening and certainly in the Ivory Coast there. Of course, they're having the takeover by a Muslim government. We see new missile strikes in Israel. We find from Barry Shamus that there were 47 sophisticated missiles put up by Hamas, not Hezbollah. Hezbollah has always had sophisticated missiles, but suddenly Hamas has sophisticated missiles, and one day within this last week of something like 47 or 48 sophisticated missiles hit Israel. And I mean, they were up as far north as Beersheba, not far from Tel Aviv. So everything is changing. There's a real threat of war there, certainly between Palestine and Hamas and Hezbollah. It's only a matter of time before it takes place. I think everybody over there knows that. People here in America, well, these are just little distractions for us. We live in a make-believe world, but believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the make-believe world we live in is going to be coming to a shocking end before long. There's going to be crisis. I don't know what form it's going to take. Will it be a nuclear attack? Will it be a terrorist attack? Will it be a financial collapse? Any one of a number of things could happen. Certainly, if they stop, you know, simply pouring money into the economy, if they were to raise the interest rate here in America, why the faltering economy would simply collapse. The only thing that's keeping going is massively pouring out money, which is going to lead to inflation. And of course, Bob Chapman talks about 14% by the end of this year, 25-30% next year. Do you realize what that means? It means you're going to lose half the value of everything you've worked for within the next 2 years. And then after that, things will spiral on down. Understand, we're having real problems, but behind this, there are powerful spiritual forces. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, things are out of control in Japan. Certainly, as far as their economy is concerned, I mean, certainly it's going to be marked contraction. The economy is going to take Japan probably close to somewhere between $500 billion and $1 trillion to get their economy, get the things straightened out over there. And where's the money come from? Part of it's going to have to come. They're going to have to sell American T-bonds. Well, if they sell American T-bonds, who's going to buy them? Nobody wants to buy American Treasury bonds because everybody's afraid, although they won't say it publicly, but they're afraid America's going to fall on its debt obligations. So, of course, the Fed is surreptitiously sending money to the Cayman Islands or elsewhere at other central banks. So they'll buy the T-bonds because, of course, if we don't keep... And they were simply selling T-bonds. We won't have enough money to keep the government working here and providing all the welfare benefits for everybody. But you can't provide for the people indefinitely with money that you don't have. So, and then, of course, in China, why, of course, they're having real problems. Inflation's getting out of hand. Their economy is beginning to contract. They have massive overbuilding over there and certainly increasing unrest as people are losing their jobs. So, Lynn, you go ahead and pick up the story from your point of view.
It's just like a pogo stick bouncing from disaster to disaster, and it certainly is global, Dr. Stan, as you've outlined. We're looking at Portugal to kind of continue with the financial thread. Portugal, Spain, Greece, Ireland, all very close to economic meltdown. Will the EU survive another year? We don't know. When we look at the Middle East, we see that it's completely imploding as the nations just one after another, like almost like a set of dominoes. And I believe that that some of that is supernatural. In other words, there's a supernatural trigger, which is literally acting on what we're seeing in the Middle East. Yes, there are forces that we see, like, you know, NATO airstrikes and U.S. airstrikes. Fine, I get that. But why now? Why all these countries just rising up and demanding, you know, so-called democracy? There will be no democracy, first of all. There will only be the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood and the implementation of Sharia law, in my opinion. What's interesting is when the Egyptian revolt, in which they ousted Hosni Mubarak, who had been in there for decades, Hamas, of course, in Gaza, blew up the pipeline that supplies about 40% of Israel's energy. And several weeks later, the Israeli government said, okay, now that the dust has settled and Mubarak's gone, when are we going to get the pipeline reconnected? And the Egyptians said, well, we're not going to reconnect it. So now Israel is missing 40% of its energy resources. Isn't that interesting? What will they do? On top of that, just today in the news, the Egyptian temporary government declared that if Hamas is attacked by Israel, in other words, if Israel attacks Hamas in Gaza, the Egyptians will throw their weight, their military might, behind Hamas. That's a first, because there was a peace treaty between Egypt and Israel, Jordan, and Israel. All that, certainly with Egypt, is downriver now. It's over. It's been washed away. It's a new day in Egypt, and we see that there is no peace treaty. In fact, they're siding with Hamas. And we also know that about 2 weeks after Mubarak was ousted, between 1.5 and 2 million people met in Tahrir Square in Egypt. And there was an imam who had been forbidden to speak publicly under the Mubarak regime. And this imam had the crowd chanting in unison, "To Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the millions." And what's alarming to me about that is here's Egypt, that is one of the poorest nations on the planet, where the average pay per day is about $2, sometimes a little less than that. How the heck can you feed a family on $2 a day? And, of course, that's what sparked these riots anyway in Tunisia when food prices went up 20-30%. You can't feed your family anymore on $2 a day. You just won't work. And what's interesting is that all of this that we see, all this tension in the Middle East with Egypt, with the Muslim Brotherhood rising up, with this, and it's just across the board. I believe that it's being fueled supernaturally. In other words, we're seeing all these people revolt, and they're all wanting something better. But the only thing they can fall back on, literally, is Sharia law, and that's, of course, where it will go. And once it's Sharia law, then, you know, to Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the millions. I mean, that's, in other words, instead of the Egyptians working on better hospitals, better schools, equal rights for women, better farming methods, just everything that they could do, better infrastructure, no, all they care about is going to Jerusalem and somehow, you know, dying in some crazy frenzied war to liberate Jerusalem from those pesky Jews. It's just unbelievable, and that is supernatural because it makes no sense.
Well, because Barry Shamus, that we interviewed him today, he was talking about Facebook, and certainly Facebook is, and the various sites they have on the internet, mm-hmm. have accumulated tremendous interest. And he said there's page there. Over 350,000 Muslims have visited, and the whole idea is that an Israeli Independence Day sometime in May, I think it's May 12th, something like that. Somebody, I stand to be corrected on that, but everybody is from all the neighboring countries, from Lebanon and from Jordan and from Syria and from Egypt. They're all going to march in. They're all going to walk into Israel and simply force the Jews to leave. They're talking about millions of Arabs marching into Israel here in about 2 months, just a little over 2 months. Now, it sounds crazy, but then we live in a world gone entirely mad.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if these people take it seriously? And this is just one website. There are a number of websites that are calling for this massive march, individual march on Israel. I mean, this is laying the foundation for the Israelis to respond with force. I mean, certainly they're not going to allow a million, two or 3 million Arabs or Muslims to march into Israel and simply storm the wall there and storm into the cities or run into the cities. I mean, they're going to use force, and if they have to shoot them, they'll do that. I'm not saying this is what should be done, but we're simply saying we live in a world gone mad. And when we see this sort of thing happening, and when we hear increasing threats of war between certainly the Palestinian and Israel, when you understand the United States government has been arming and training the Palestinian Liberation Army, the PLO, for their coming battle with Israel. On one hand, we arm the Israelis and train them. On the other hand, we arm their enemy and train them. Why would you be training people on both sides? Well, of course, basically you always want a controlled opposition. You want violence because that is how you're able to control people. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We are living in terribly uncertain times. Our plea with people is prepare for them as best you can. Certainly people throughout most of the world don't have the wherewithal to make any preparations. The people here do. I mean, do you have certainly some sort of iodine? I'm not suggesting you take it now, but we saw what happened when there was a threat of the nuclear byproducts getting over here. People frantically calling, trying to get potassium iodate or iodorol or something like that, and there isn't any. Now we're getting it out as fast as we can, telling people not to take it. But you should be a sign it's time to begin to prepare. Go right ahead, Lynn.
Well, you know, it...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Suddenly, literally overnight, their life changed. Suddenly, the gigantic tsunami, 20,000 people dead, suddenly devastation, the radioactivity. I was reading articles about Japan. They have their places you can go and get food, but there's no food through regular channels. And if you don't go into these camps, why, you're actually out simply foraging for food. You're actually foraging for wood to burn to keep warm. You're foraging for canned goods or for anything you can find. I mean, we have people in Japan today who are simply going out every morning foraging for food in this devastated area. The things have still not returned to normal at all. It'll be many, many months before things get back to normal, before suddenly people have homes to live in, and a lot of the people maybe not even be able to return to their homes. There may be so much contamination there. We don't know. Now, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Could we have something similar happen here? I believe there's going to be some sort of a major event, whether it'll be a dirty bomb, whether it'll be a real bomb, whether it'll be financial, what it'll be, I don't know. But we're entering some very, very difficult times. And behind everything that's going on are powerful supernatural forces, and this is what nobody is talking about. But you go right ahead, Lynn.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you talk about something that's coming to something is coming to America, and it certainly is. I mean, something is coming to this country. We've, you know, we've had our Katrina, we've had 9/11, and that's. But something else is coming here. The world is being. When we look at just what's happening in Japan or Australia and Chile, you know, obviously the Gulf oil spill, that was traumatic. But we look at the meltdown of Europe as far as their economics are concerned and the unrest just to come up with several weeks ago, the 500,000 demonstrators in the UK, you know, torching buildings, smashing windows, the whole deal. Russia, 500 fires over the summer, the 1,000-year flood in Pakistan, you know, and on and on and on it goes. It's just there doesn't seem to be any rest. In 1862 in California, they had what was called the Ark Storm, and it was this, like, a monsoon-like rain, which lasted over 35 days. Over 35 days. And the governor, the newly elected governor, went to his inauguration in Sacramento in a rowboat because Sacramento had literally become an inland sea. So we've seen this before. And I have no idea what is coming. But I just know that we're not going to, you know, it's not going to be business as usual. And what people don't understand is the people in Japan got up that morning, they went to work, they got in their cars, kids went to school. Life was normal. Life was normal. People were looking forward to spring. Everything was fine. And, like, literally, over in a matter of seconds, the earthquake hit, followed by a 70-foot wall of water, a tsunami. 20,000 people's lives are lost forever. The town is reduced to literally kindling matchsticks, and now we're dealing with radioactive waste, another Chernobyl-type scenario.
Well, let me just share a story. Suddenly, our friend Lindsay Williams told me in the middle of October that one of his friends was a new Janet Napolitano, used to be governor, I think, of New Mexico, went back to Washington, D.C. with her husband. Janet said, "I want to take you to dinner." And in the middle of October, Janet Napolitano told this woman, "As soon as you get home, start storing food. Have at least 6 months' supply of food and water on hand." Now, the woman said, "Why?" And Janet Napolitano said, "I can't tell you. Just do it." Now, Chris, is the story true? Well, we do know, Sydney, a freeze-dry guy, in fact, I might comment, freeze-dry guy, was down here. We advertised for him, does a good job with supplying freeze-dry food. But he told me, of course, somebody, probably the government, is buying up most of the freeze-dry food, Sydney. They've cut off the supply to all of these small dealers, and he, being one of the largest dealers in the country, can get adequate supplies, but it's going out just as fast as he can get it in. But he can't get ahead of this. He said, as he told me, he's never seen people buying as frantically as they are. And they're buying from him because they can't get it through the regular channels, because the company that he works with is reserving the food for whoever this major buyer is, presumably government, and then, of course, but only the major buyers are able to get it. Have you laded your supplies? Think about it. Somebody knows something big is coming down, and one day you may well wake up to find the same thing. Remember, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, then go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, it's, you know, as we watch this, these events continue to unfold in the Middle East and the global economic meltdown and the uncertainty of the times in which we're living in, unfortunately, most people are not prepared. And as you said right before the break, we definitely need to get between 4 to 6 months' worth of food and water and some sort of a means to defend ourselves. My wife and I have a variety of not only freeze-dried foods, but we've got you know, rice and beans on hand, a lot of canned food, lots of water, and we've got different tanks of propane. We've got 5 gallon cans of propane, a large, very large propane container that will hold over 200 gallons, another one which holds about 100 gallons. And with propane, you know, we can heat pretty much everything here and cook almost indefinitely. We've got about 3 cords of wood should the propane ever run out. So, and we are armed in the sense that we're not into hunkering down in some bunker and, you know, playing Waco, Texas all over again. That's not what I'm talking about. But, you know, when I looked at pictures of the Los Angeles riots, the stores that were not looted were the stores with the shotguns pointing out the second-story window. Nobody was killed. No one was like, you know, okay, the people saw the guns, and that's all they needed to see. And they left those stores alone. They weren't looted. They weren't burned. We're called to protect our families. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do as men.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. My guest is Lon Marzulli. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're talking about the very uncertain times we live in. Before we go on, Lynn, I'd like you to go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your ministry and Sydney, get your information.
I appreciate that, Dr. Stan. It's always good to be here and conversing with you, and it's an honor and a privilege. But my website is www.lamarzulli.net. LAMarzulli.net. You can link from there to the blog, and I blog basically 6 days a week about a variety of subjects. We get between 5,000 and 6,000 people a day on the blog, and those numbers are constantly growing. So it's a lot of comments. Usually we get upwards of 60 to 100 comments per day. Very lively group in there, always commenting on stuff. And you'll find it interesting because not only do I blog about 600 words every single day on a new subject, but I link to about 7 stories that I believe are very pertinent. And I scour the internet first thing in the morning, looking for the stories, seeing what's breaking. This morning, which was interesting, a story that most people would not even consider, would even pick up. But this goes back into what I would call the Luciferian dialectic, similar to a Hegelian dialectic. It's sort of a play on that whole, on Hegel the philosopher. But the bottom line is I call it a Luciferian dialectic because we are seeing supernatural events which are operating in the Middle East. And the story basically said that Jordan was going to be annexed. In other words, that the United States apparently was going to annex from Jordan, a portion of Jordan, to create a Palestinian state. I've been saying this for years, absolutely years. I've written about it, and this, of course, is a dialectic meaning conflict, counter-conflict, synthesis. The conflict 9/11, the counter-conflict Afghanistan, but then all of a sudden you go into Iraq, it makes no sense at all. And then now we're starting to see the perhaps the rise of what I would call the Hashemite king, King Abdullah of Jordan. When the Iraqis were creating their constitution, Abdullah offered to set up a constitutional monarchy in Iraq. And, of course, that didn't happen. But what's interesting now is, like, Ahmadinejad of Iran went on the record today stating that the United States is trying to plot this annexation of Jordan to prop up or create a Palestinian homeland, so to sort of prop up Israel. And while some of that may be true, there is an end game that's going on here. And Babylon is in Iraq, and Babylon is being rebuilt. And wouldn't it be interesting if the king of Jordan becomes the king of Iraq, and all of a sudden that Iraqi dinar, which has been devalued right after Iraq, you see, all this is manipulated. What people don't get, we walk in, before the war, I think it was like 4-1, the Iraqi dinar versus the U.S. dollar. Excuse me, now it's well over 3,600 to one, the Iraqi dinar. And they have like a Federal Reserve there, a group of international bankers, similar to what happened here with our Fed, went over there and set up a central bank. And they created this new Iraqi dinar, which is pretty much counterproof, or counterfeit-proof. And at some point, that thing's going to be revalued. And wouldn't it be just amazing if the King of Jordan walks in there, and, oh, by the way, we're now going to revalue the Iraqi dinar 1-to-1, and all that oil revenue. And the king sets up his capital not in Baghdad, but in Babylon, and continues to rebuild that city into a modern mega metropolis, similar to what we see in places like Dubai.
What else do we know that Saddam Hussein was building Babylon?
Absolutely.
As we know, of course, it was badly damaged when the Americans coming in. Now, is the new Iraqi government beginning to build Babylon again, or what?
Well, the new Iraqi government haven't really done much as far as rebuilding Babylon, not what Saddam was doing. What they have done is they've gone in there and attempt to restore it, because when the Americans went in, there was damage to the site, a lot of looting happened, and all sorts of other interesting. Tom Horn's got a great take on this, that when we went in there, we went after some sort of an artifact. Now, whether or not, you know, you can vet that story, it's a wonderful apocryphal story, and it makes great reading, but it's almost impossible to vet. But it could be true. And what's interesting, I believe that I'm a literalist when I look at Scripture. And Babylon, yes, I understand that, you know, mystery Babylon and spiritual Babylon, okay, I get all that. But I honestly believe that physical Babylon will be rebuilt completely and at some point maybe even become a world power. I mean, here's just something to think about. And this is what's interesting about all this. 6 months ago, Dr. Stan, if we had sat down and said, hey, guess what, you know, the Middle East is about to erupt and Mubarak will be overthrown and Gaddafi will be fighting for his life, literally. Tunisia will be overthrown and the entire Muslim world will be in upheaval. No one would have guessed that. No one would have postulated it. Here's just something to think about. It's a scenario. I'm not saying this will happen, but the way we see things come down, anything can take place. What if a dirty bomb goes off near the UN? Now you know, or in New York. And Manhattan and the UN become obsolete. They're going to need to rebuild and put that someplace. Well, you know, what if it is in Babylon? It's just food for thought. It's just something to think about because, you know, we look at these things and our feet are in intellectual concrete and we won't move off our paradigm of our belief system. And the whole, as I mentioned earlier, who would have ever imagined that the Middle East would be going through the upheaval that we see now? Who would have imagined a 9.0 earthquake or a flood of biblical proportions in Australia or the earthquakes of 7.0 happening in the Ring of Fire almost on a weekly basis, you know, or the Gulf oil spill, the 500 fires in Russia, or the 1,000-year flood in Pakistan? And this is why we need to, you know, be alert and aware, because things can change in an instant. I'm sure you've seen the video, Dr. Stan. I blogged about this last week when I finally got a hold of it. But there's a 50-minute video on the coming Mahdi, the 12th Iman Mahdi. And the Iranians have sanctioned this movie. The government is pushing it, and they are true believers. And the Mahdi is what we would call, in some circles, the Antichrist. That's what we would call him, because it's nothing. It's certainly not Jesus coming back. And what's interesting is one of the prerequisites for the coming of the Mahdi is to have complete and utter chaos in the world. It is absolutely the most fascinating times in all of human history, and yet extremely tenuous at the same time.
Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But people don't really imagine we could have a major event here that would simply change the course of our nation economically or politically, but certainly all sorts of things could happen. Certainly our borders are open. If the terrorists ever really wanted to bring a nuclear bomb, they could. In fact, there's some people who honestly believe that there are nuclear bombs right here in America that have been planted. It's only a matter of time. In fact, you've written about that, haven't you, Lynn?
What was that last sentence about?
The fact that there are nuclear bombs available?
Well, yes. I've written about it. You've had Paul Williams on your show before. I know that, and I've read his books and other intel discussing the idea that dirty bombs came across the southern border in the late 90s. There was a fatwa that was given to Osama bin Laden by an imam allowing him to use weapons of mass destruction against non-combatants. And, I believe it, that if we connect the dots, we've talked about this before, but the thumbnail sketch of it real quick for your listeners, several months back when the Iranians were putting, or the Russians were actually helping the Iranians put the fuel rods into the reactor, Hillary Clinton stands up on a Monday morning and says, well, the Iranians or terrorists are trying to use weapons of mass destruction in American cities. 2 days after that, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, stands up and says, if we are attacked in any way, we, the Iranians, will detonate weapons of mass destruction in American cities. A week after that, a German journalist announces that, hey, guess what? Osama bin Laden has been hiding out in Iran for years now. And that's where his base of operations is. And I connected the dots, and I blogged about this and told people, connect the dots. It's a quid pro quo. Yeah, Osama bin Laden is Sunni. Iran is Shia. But the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And more than likely what Osama said, and again, this is all conjecture on my part, but I believe it's based on good intel and based on what, just connecting some of the dots. Osama had the dirty bomb smuggled into this country, as Paul Williams states and other intel, other sources state, in the late 90s. They're embedded here in sleeper cells, control them. And so the quid pro quo to the Iranians is, hey, let me into the country with the retinue of my people, and I will give you control of the sleeper cells, which is exactly what Osama did. And the rest is history. They let Osama in. He gives them control of the sleeper cells, and that's why Ahmadinejad can stand up and say, if we are attacked, we will detonate weapons of mass destruction in American cities. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. There's no way to vet that, but somebody knows this. And this is why when the Iranians put those fuel, or the Russians helped them, put the fuel rods into the reactor, no one did anything. There was no attack from Israel, no sorties, no bombs, nothing. And I think it's real. I think the threat is very much real. I think the dirty nukes or the live nukes are already embedded in the country, and sleeper cells control them.
And could you imagine if what would happen in the United States if just one nuclear bomb went off in Washington, D.C., or New York City, or San Francisco, or Los Angeles? The whole structure of our society would panic. People, they talk about buying food or buying water, or Berkeley water filters, or health products, or I was in the trying to get your hands on iodine or iodine products. There would be panic like you have never seen before. In fact, we saw this panic already, because after what happened over in Japan. Now, I do not believe that you need to take iodine at the present time. I do not believe that,
as far as we know,
that there's any evidence that we have levels of iodine, 131, high enough to justify that. But we certainly are encouraging people to lay in a supply of either Iodoral, which is an iodine product, to Lugol's solution plus iodine, or potassium iodate, just to have it on hand. Because, of course, you would feel far safer knowing certainly that you had it, rather than wait until something happens, because then it's just too late. You don't have any time. As soon as the word is given, you start taking it, you load your thyroid with iodine, and certainly that will protect you from everything. You need protective clothing. You need means of getting filtered water. You need to know how to create a safe room. We actually have DVDs on how to create a safe room in your house. All of these things you need to have. I mean, when you create a safe room, you've got to have duct tape, you've got to have plastic, you've got to have only three or four things. You have to stop and think about what you're doing, and other people have thought this all the way through. We actually have a DVD called Sheltering in Place. Everybody should have it. Everybody should watch it. I've watched it, and certainly we're prepared in case something should happen. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know that as I watch things happening, and remember, I've been at this for 48 years now, 49 years, and I've never seen things moving as rapidly as they are today. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, begin making your preparations, and of course, understand that behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces. The most important thing you can do is be in a proper relationship with the Lord, but you'd be foolish not to make the other preparations. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. I'd like to know what you think about what the things that Lynn Marzulli and I have been talking about. Incidentally, we carry Lynn's book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. That's Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. You say, what does politics and prophecy have to do with the supernatural? It has everything to do with the supernatural. And then, of course, his book on the Nephilim trilogy, his book certainly on alien interviews. It's interviews with people who've actually interviewed people who've been abducted by aliens, as incredible as it sounds. And these are responsible people who are firmly convinced that there's something there. And then, of course, his DVD on the Watchers. If you haven't seen Lynn's DVD on the Watchers, we recommend it. We carry it. We think it's important. It gets into certainly the UFOs, certainly the cattle mutilations, an excellent interview with a gentleman who was taken. He's a doctor, surgeon. He's taken these implants out of at least 16 people. What's the next DVD? You're coming up with a new one, aren't you, Lynn?
Yeah, we're actually in post-production right now. It's called Signs in the Heavens and Earth, and it deals with everything we've been talking about tonight. Wars and rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, the bird, the fish die off, the earthquake in Japan, the tsunamis, the fact that the moon is becoming extremely eccentric. We have an Italian astronomer who's looked at the moon and written a paper that was published at Cornell University. And we did some emailing with him, the bottom line is that the lunar surface is moving, and they're not sure why. He's not sure why. He's addressed it. But we're taking pre-orders for this. It should be out hopefully around the end of April. We were shooting for the end of March, but we're, of course, behind schedule. We're working feverishly to get the thing out. It's called Signs in the Heavens and Earth, and it deals with everything that we've been talking about in a very graphic way.
What do you make of the fish die-off? What do you make of the bird die-off? And certainly, what do you make of the fact that apparently the poles, the North Pole, the South Pole, are actually moving? I mean, this is something quite unusual, isn't it?
Well, the magnetic north has definitely moved about 40 miles. I mean, everybody knows that. But what people aren't saying, we're not getting the straight answer on this. The moon, the lunar surface, many people have taken amateur videos of it. It's rotated like 135 degrees at one point, and then went back to normal. I mean, it's like, huh? What the heck is that? What are we looking at? We called UCLA, Pepperdine University, Jet Propulsion Lab, and Griffith Observatory. All we're trying to do is get an answer from somebody. Slam doors. That's all we got. No one would speak to us. When they found out what we were looking for, we just got nothing but the runaround. It was absolutely unbelievable. Wouldn't return the phone calls. People wouldn't come on the record. Finally, we found this one paper by this Italian scientist by the name of Iorio. And, we emailed him, and we got his paper and looked at this thing. And the bottom line is that the moon is behaving eccentrically, and they're not sure why. They don't. This guy doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand why. So he wrote a paper, and of course, no one else. We haven't found anybody else talking about it, except this one man. So it really makes you wonder what's going on.
Well, is something going on? Do these people know about it? They're afraid to talk about it. Do they have any idea what this is about? Because we do know, because tremendous pressure is put on to the scientists, certainly to withhold information that might disturb the common people. Is this a real phenomenon or is it imaginary?
Well, I think it's a real phenomenon.
All right, it's a real phenomenon, and nobody wants to talk about that.
Exactly.
That should give you sort of an idea, ladies and gentlemen, that there are things that are going on. Well, we know that so much of what goes on is classified, and basically in the name of the national security, we can't let the American people know, for instance. We can't let them know that it was our own State Department that transferred the technology to build nuclear weapons to Pakistan. If you doubt that, you need to get my January 2008 newsletter, January 2008, The Sybil Edmonds Story. Well, then you got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
Well, Dr. Stan, once again, thanks so much for having me back on. Always a pleasure to be here and talk to your listeners.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Do you know what happens to a community that fluoridates its drinking water? Well, the incidence of Down syndrome and endocrine dysfunction, heart disease, thyroid disease, hip fracture, mental problems, infertility, cancer, and crime increases. And if you doubt that, why, go to fluoridealert.org, fluoridealert.org, or the website of the scientists who work for the EPA. That's NTEU280.org. That's NTEU280.org. So what can you do to protect yourself? Well, we carry a Berkey Water Good. It does a great job. If you have the fluoride filter, specifically taking fluoride out of the drinking water, but you're still going to get a lot of fluoride absorbed through your skin if you shower or bathe. So we have now a total home filtration unit. It's affordable. It does a great job. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 to learn about the total home filtration unit. Spiritual forces behind them. Now, if you haven't read Lynn's books, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, that's Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, the Nephilim Trilogy, or his book on the alien interviews, we carry all three of them, we recommend them to you, and then, of course, we carry his DVD on the Watchers, and you'll find it fascinating. It goes into the background of the supernatural battle that's going on today, UFOs, cattle mutilations, interview with a gentleman, a surgeon who's removed the implants, implanted by people who've been abducted from 16 different people. And all we can say is the metal that was removed was not of this earth. It's a different composition. Fascinating information you won't get elsewhere. And then, of course, we hope you'll read our book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You'll listen to our talks on the forbidden secret and upon the dark secret. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, because we hope that you'll go to our website, radioliberty.com, and that we have there a news banner there on our homepage. It's called The Story of Jesus, and basically it's simply the story of the life of Jesus, taken from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but put into a chronology so that you can follow it along. Much easier to read than the individual Gospels. Certainly we want to take you back to the Gospels, but we want you to know the story and then go back to the King. Well, my preference is the King James Version, but it's the greatest story ever told. There's another new website called How Do You Know That You're Saved? How Do You Know You're Saved? We hope you'll access all of these websites and then point other people towards them. Why? Why? Very simply because at this time in history, I think that we want to get as many people at least acquainted with the story of Jesus as we possibly can. We can make all the preparations for what's coming down the line. We can have food and water and certainly have the supplies we need. But if you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord, you're not going to get through with what lies ahead. And our hope is that you'll point other people to our website, get them listening to our program. Understand that this is not imaginary. It's really very, very real. So again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. I should mention that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. You can join the Radio Liberty family or subscribe to our newsletter. Whatever you're in a position to do, we'll appreciate hearing from you and appreciate any consideration of support that you can offer us. And if you're not in a position, I know a lot of people are really hurting now. We ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, that you pray for our provision and protection. And certainly we've been at this this is the 48th year, 49th year we're starting now. Been a long, long time, an exciting time. And but God has put us here for a purpose, and we do have almost 60 outlets, or a little over 60 outlets every week, where somewhere in America people are hearing the truth, and we hope that we can expand our ministry and get more and more people to listen, to understand what's going on, because we truly are involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, financial battlefield. But it is a spiritual battle, and there really are supernatural forces involved in so much of what's going on today. So we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and the others who are involved, and then please pray for Radio Liberty.